Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin podcast network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
Young man, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught on it, use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, "Jay, get me out."
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey, my last season.
Okay. Hey everybody, welcome back. This episode, we look at, again, another situation we've never talked about, and that is women's American football in the United States. The NFL already currently has the highest viewership by far, the highest TV contracts without question, and essentially slaughters the majority of its competition in and is seen as the dominant league in the United States by many people. I guess it would depend on who you ask to get a consensus there, but they do dominate in a lot of very important categories. Football in the United States, American football, is very, very popular. You see that in, again, those numbers we saw with the NFL, as well as the episodes we've done with arena football, not nearly as popular as the NFL, obviously, but still has a lot of following. As well as the beginning of the XFL. We'll see how that does starting in just a few weeks already. But this episode brings another twist to that, and that is women in American football. Currently, there's no completely professional outdoor football league for women. However, this league does look into that and see what we have already. Not to be confused with the already indoor league of the X-League, I believe it is now. It was LFL, the Legends Football League. It has just recently changed to the X-League, and that is part of the discussion we have in this interview. We kind of compare the two a little bit. But currently, this is the largest outdoor league for women's football, so we're going to look at that and see what its current state is, what opportunities are like, where some of these teams are at, what the current state of the league is at, and what insiders believe is the potential growth of the league. Will it make it from amateur to professional, and how far away? How realistic is that thought, and how does it compare with opportunities that are already overseas for women playing American football? So we're going to get into that a little bit. Our interview is with the leader of the Seattle Spartans. Teams in this league range across the United States, and they're divided into different divisions because of this. And so, just to list off, there's plenty of cities represented with teams in the WFA, including DC, Boston, San Diego, Cleveland, Columbus, Carolina, so many all over the country have teams represented in the league. Teams will play in a variety of different venues, but for the most part, it tends to be high school stadiums or lower level college facilities. The value of the episode is not only just listening about specifically American football for women, but also for any of you who have your hand in the development of a league somewhere and you're in the early stages, this episode is going to help give you a view into some of the issues that leagues that are in the early stages just like you are facing, and might give you an idea of how to counteract some of those issues, or maybe hiccups that you should expect that you haven't hit yet, or roadblocks you may come across, so that you're more prepared for your growth and your future. And so I want to make sure and reiterate that this isn't just about women's American football, although that is the content. There's more to what we're talking about. It's also looking at the struggles of a developing league and how to counteract that again, and what you might be able to expect if you're a part of a league, and all of that kind of stuff. And so that's really important. Know that. And so even if you're not directly connected with women's American football, there's also other angles to this and aspects that'll make this episode valuable for you to give a listen. So enjoy. Thank you for sticking with us again. We've appreciated it. We've seen some significant growth in the last couple of weeks, so we want to thank all of you for that support. Please feel free, and we'll say this again at the end, as always, to let us know of any requests that you want to hear, so we can continue to give what you'd like. But for now, thank you, and enjoy the episode here with leader of Seattle Spartans, member of the Women's Football Alliance.
Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team. The Lewisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league, and through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Lewisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around once again, keep an eye out for the Lewisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
Hello, this is Nicole.
Hi, this is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm all right. Good. Thank you for... I'm glad we finally got this set up.
Yes, me too.
Awesome. All right, so just start off. Let's get right started. Just say who you are and who you represent, like who you're with.
My name is Nicole Pelham. I'm the owner of the Seattle Spartans women's tackle football team going into its second season.
And what league is the Seattle Spartans in?
We're in the WFA, so that's the Women's Football Alliance, the biggest league in the world, I believe.
For women's American football?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know any other country that even competes a little bit as far as opportunities for women's tackle football?
There are quite a few countries that do a really great job of women's football. We've had a couple players go off on scholarships to other countries, and they get all expenses paid, like room, they get a food stipend, they don't pay for any of their equipment. So there are some countries that are doing a fantastic job. It's still a pretty small sport in those countries. I think Finland, Sweden, they both have teams, I think about 14, 15 teams, I think. There's a couple other countries that have teams about that size over in Europe, but they do offer a lot for their players, and I think they get some help from the government for that.
So, biggest league in the world, how many teams does it have right now?
This year, I believe we're going to be 70 teams. Last year, I think it was 65.
Okay, so that is the episode we just posted was ABA, American Basketball Association, an example of a league that has a crazy amount of teams. We're talking over 100. And so we're kind of in that neighborhood now, having a league around 70 teams. If you're, you said you're the owner?
Yeah, of the Seattle Sports.
Yeah, do you have any sort of role, or I mean, what's your responsibility as far as scheduling these teams? Do you have to get certain teams from certain areas, or can you pick whatever one makes the most sense financially as far as travel and stuff?
The league picks our divisions, so everything is assigned by the league. So we're in the Pacific region for the WFA, so we have a set group of opponents. We play people, play teams from Oregon. We have another team here in Washington that plays down south, the South Sound Olympians. And then there's a couple teams over in Utah. California has a few teams, and we may play them off and on in years, but usually we're going to stick to Oregon and Washington teams, and then maybe one California or Vegas or one of those teams that's not too far away. For playoffs, though, we can go as far as Denver, Texas, California. We played Denver, Vegas, both of those in California for playoff games.
Now, this isn't the only women's tackle football league in the United States, correct?
No, there are, I don't want to guess, but I think there's like seven. There's some smaller leagues that have around 10 to 20 players. I mean, 10 to 20 teams. And then, of course, there's some arena teams as well, some arena leagues as well. So I think the next biggest would be WNFC.
So,
and they are a new league as well, and they've only been going, I think, for 2 years.
So when I first kind of jumped into the, you know, looking at these opportunities, the other big one that came up was the LFL, which is no longer LFL. Like, as of recently, is now like the X League or something. And that's the arena, right? That's the arena style for women's football.
Yeah, that's the arena league football.
Right, and that's another high up one as far as numbers. I as far as what I've looked at, is that correct? Do you know?
I think around 20-something teams, so it wasn't a lot of teams, but they had, I mean, pretty big followings.
How does...
And that's just a different style of football, too. It's an arena. I finally got to watch a game this year. It was the first time I've been able to go, because our teams play kind of the same time, and it's a much smaller field, because they play pretty much on the hockey field, so...
Right, and so that would compare to the men that play outside versus men that play inside, too. It is a different game. It's a different style. So... As far as your players go, first of all, how long is your season? What's your season span?
So we just started the preseason, and the preseason will go from now until April. April, the first week of April, is when the first games are starting. So we should have a game in the very first week. I can't tell you which games because our schedules are being held until January 11th, and then the entire WFA league will release their schedules at the same time. So.
Okay, so preseason goes up until April, you said? Okay, and playoffs
Yeah, the playoffs start after that, and they go into July, and I can't remember exactly what the dates are for this year.
So what are the responsibilities of teams during preseason? Are there anything? Are there
Just get your team ready, recruiting. You do that most of the off season, and you do a little bit of recruiting all the way, kind of for most teams, all the way until the first game. You're pretty much still recruiting. That's basically your responsibility, and then promoting. As for that, it's really each team is doing their own thing. The league helps with insurance, helps with scheduling, helps with disputes, helps with, you know, just things that leagues would take care of. But as far as promoting the league, your team, that is up to the owner. You have to do that stuff yourself, which is pretty fun.
So you got to do all your recruiting, obviously. Where does a team like you guys recruit women's football players? I mean, because obviously you're not looking at college.
Everywhere. So actually, we are going to be going to some of the colleges. There's always a few people who didn't make it into something, or maybe the college doesn't have what they want as far as the community colleges. So we do try to recruit at the community colleges. One of our top athletes, defensive player of the year last year, was also inducted into the Everett Community College Hall of Fame, and that's Janelle, number 73, and she was fantastic. So we do have some people who played college sports or who are playing, but usually that's going to be some more of a rec thing. If they're going to play football, they're
they're playing football, and they understand that the risks of playing football.
Yeah, so enlighten me for a second. There's no college, as far as I know, around where I am, where there's women's football as an option, right? You're talking if they played it, it was some sort of rec situation.
Yes, a lot of we are starting to get. I've been playing that for 9 years. We have a nice season, and we're starting to get a lot more women and girls who played in junior high, high school, and so they had a little bit more experience. When I first started, that was really rare that anybody had any sort of experience. But now you're starting to see a couple of those people on every team who have played quite a bit, and that's a big change. And it makes it really exciting. That means it shows what it would take if girls got the same training all the way through, how good they would be, because these players are all Americans and top athletes for the entire league, and they're pretty fantastic.
So the players that sign on to teams like this, is it paid for everybody? Is it semi-pro, or is it completely professional?
So most of the teams are going to be pay to play. After that, it all depends on the option. How much you pay, again, is up to the teams. Some teams are free. Some of the bigger teams, they just do, used to do a lot of selling tickets and doing fundraisers and stuff, as opposed to actually paying. We do a mixture of the two, so we have a pay per practice. So, you know, just kind of like if you would do a drop-in, that way there's no, you know, they're just paying for the time and the rental and being coached through that time. And that money goes all towards their training fees, which I hope within 4 years to not have, because that's a big barrier to women's football that really hurts. Having to pay any sort of training fee, whether that training fee is $300 or some teams theirs are, you know, $1,000+. So it's a big thing for the people to decide to play the sport and then to pay that type of money. So that's the type of devotion you're looking at with the sport, which is why I know that once we get this out to the public, they're going to absolutely love it, because that's what they want to see, the pure passion. These women play with everything they have.
So right now, there is no sort of monetary reward or payment to any players right now?
So we do. We do a kickback on every game. So we have a player of the game, and we actually had a sponsor, Mazda Everett, up here, sponsored for a couple of the games and gave us a few $100. And so we had to pay a player offense and player defense, and last year it was $25 to $50 reward for that game. And we let the announcers pick who those people were. So we do have that, and I hope that it can grow that so that off balances. So if you have a really good player, that could actually cover their player fees while at the same time trying to lower their player fees. And that's just about getting sponsors in there. You know, if you get a sponsor who guarantees us for 3 years, they're going to give us, you know, $5,000. That is a huge amount for women's football.
Sure.
Most teams run these teams at about $35,000. So, you know, any big donation like that carries a team, and then a promise of it allows them to really lower player fees, and then you start getting those athletes in there who can spend some time at the gym, because if you're paying all your player fees, you also have to work a little bit more. So
yeah,
it definitely causes detriment.
So if these teams are being run at $35,000 or some of them, how much of that is being made up by the certain, and this is going to differ by team, but, you know, is it a significant amount coming back from sponsorship? Is it a good amount coming back from tickets? What is it looking like as far as the money typically coming back?
Well, it all depends on the team. I think if you do some research, you'll see that some of the teams, like the DC Diva, they've been going for a very long time. They have a huge following. I don't believe that their players pay at all. And you'd have to contact them to just make sure. But they're one of the teams that has a huge following, and they make a lot of their money that way. And then there's all the teams are always doing fundraisers. They're always sharing ideas for fundraisers. Like we did Easter egg fundraiser, which we'll probably do again this year. We may do something for Valentine's Day. We'll probably do a Super Bowl party. So we do lots of little fundraisers throughout the year, both to promote the team, but also to help offset the player fees and then the fees for the field, which is actually the biggest cost for a team is renting these fields. Most of them are you're looking at least $150 an hour and the ad lights on that. So, and you need them for three practices minimum a week. So that's where most of your money gets spent is in that. And that's really what the players are paying for is paying for the training of the field we rent. So
what then is the motivation for a player to come out and play for a team in this league if, you know, money's not, in fact, they're probably going to have to pay in some cases, and they're going to have to, I assume, keep working outside of playing. What is typically the motivation that you've seen to get somebody in to play in general?
They love football. That's just it. I mean, they have to either have this dream. Right now we have a woman on the team, Linda. She was an All-American third string, number 65. I'm not going to tell you her age, but she's in her 50s. This is her first sport. Okay. She plays on the line. She's fantastic. She just powers through everything. And this was just a dream of hers. You know, she this is what she wanted to do, and she never got a chance. This is the first time where she got a chance. And, you know, I think she's been really impressed by what she can do. And that's something, another reason why I like Mr. Ball, is it really shows these women what they can do. You know, some of them just have never, she said she's always been told, well, you hurt people. Well, yeah, she's 6 foot tall. Yeah. She's an athlete. So, you know, she needed to play football, but she never got the opportunity until last year. So she's going to try to play for a couple more years. But that's what people are doing. If they're doing it for the love, they battle through injuries. They just really love the sport. And I think once America, or really just the world, sees that on display, I think they're going to really love this sport.
So you honestly see in the future this becoming larger as far as everything coming in, you know, more viewership coming in, and finances as well?
Yeah, I think this is definitely good. I hope that within 5 years, at least for the Northwest, to get this tour, this team does not have any training fee, to where that we have enough sponsors, you know, to where that's not something we have to worry about for our players. And I really kind of think that, I hope that that's become something, you know, league-wide. That becomes something that, because that's just such a barrier, and it's unnecessary. It's one thing to say we don't get paid, but it's another thing to say you pay.
Sure.
On top of that. So if we can get that under control, I think that's going to be a big jump for the sport, and really just recognition. There's been a team here in Washington for over 20 years, I believe, and people still don't know anything about it, but they know the LSL, you know, and the LSL just promoted, and they had big sponsors. And so, you know, that's just my goal. It's just grassroots promoting. And I think once people see it and get out there and see the passion, they're going to love this. They're going to really love these women and love what they do.
Why is a league like the LFL able to do that, do you think? And not happening in others?
The LFL did, you know, what everybody fights about, what is it that they should do. They made uniforms that, you know, they're uniforms, and that's their uniform choice, and that's what they decided to do. And I know plenty of athletic women that played on that team. I played with some of them who joined our league later on, and, you know, they were athletes. But I also know that, you know, that's what people are going for. You know, after going to watch the game, I was like, yeah, you know, there's athletes, that's sport, but that's not NFL football. that's not what we play. We have girls on our teams who are 6 foot, and I'm 5 foot, you know, and I'm running through that line, and those big girls are blocking for me, and we have those, you know, our skinny little wide receivers running around, and it's football the way, you know, people think of football. And I think that's the big difference. It is just to show them, you know, hey, that's fine if you like that version of arena football, but we want you to know that there's this style of football too. And I know that I was actually going to try out for the LFL at one time, and probably wasn't going to make it, but I was going to try out. And I actually saw the team that's been here for quite a few decades, the Seattle Majestics, were at the Seahawks game promoting, and I saw them and saw their uniforms, and they had their game film, and I went, oh, I want to play that football. So, you know, it's just about which one you choose, and it's okay for women to choose whichever one they want.
So it sounds like you're confident that your style of play of football is closer to what we're typically used to as far as what we see maybe on TV for football. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah. I've talked to some people who've been to the LFL games. They said, well, you know, they were athletes, but I wanted to watch football, you know, and that's just not what I was expecting. And I was like, oh, well, that's what we play is NFL, outside, 11-on-11 football. You know, that's our sport. So I think once people see both of them, you know, they'll choose which ones they like.
Sure.
Like, we'll choose, you know. And so there's some people who absolutely love arena football. So.
That is true. Does it ever bother you looking at, if you look at it from the men's side here, when you compare outdoor to indoor, it's nowhere close. Obviously, the outdoor, not granted, for anyone listening, outdoor has been around a lot longer. We know that, but the difference is ridiculously high. Obviously, far more support for outdoor football, and for here, as far as promotion and viewership, it seems to be flipped in the women's category. Right? Is that accurate as far as viewership and numbers?
That there's more watching arena football.
Yeah, sponsorship and all that stuff.
Yeah, they have a really good sponsorship. I think they were on Spike TV for a while, and I think they were on Showtime or something. They've had some really good sponsorships. So.
Does that ever bother you that you seem to be closer to the form of football that most of us are actually used to, and yet you are still struggling for that viewership and recognition?
Bothers probably another word. I know that we can get there. You know, I understand, you know, how things work. I'm a mixed girl, and I understand that things change, and sometimes people think that they change slowly, but I think that they do change, and I think that it's just a matter of us pushing it out there. It is sad that football hasn't got the recognition, but I mean, the closest and biggest sports are soccer and basketball, and they are just now getting the recognition, and most people don't even know women's football exists, so I can't be mad about that yet. Yeah, it will be one of those things where, you know, 20 years from now, when everyone knows about it and they're out there playing and then there's still disparities, that's where it'll be a thing. I would like for some of the NFL teams, and some of them are very supportive. We had a World Games at the Saints facility, and that was fantastic. They hosted us for an entire week. They fed us. It was just amazing. We were playing on the same field that they practiced on, and you know, that was a great like show of support. The Seahawks have had us a couple times do some tackling things with their women's football camps, so we've done some things with that. But you know, I would like that to grow. I'd like us to do more stuff with that, and honestly, I'd like, you know, us to start getting, you know, some sponsorships from that. That's really where we can even this out, even if it just gets us to where it's paying for fields and things like that, and where the women aren't paying. That would be what we're looking at. But that's, you know, that's showing them we have a viable product. And I can't fault companies for not wanting to put into something they don't think is viable yet. So we have to show them it's fantastic. And I think once they see it, they'll know.
Speaking of viability, how many have you guys been losing teams and picking up more? I like, typically when you look at the stability of a league, if they're switching out teams often, it doesn't look great. So have you stuck with a lot of the same teams and just added to them, or have there been a lot of name switches over the last couple of years?
It's pretty much a core for the WFA, I believe. You do, of course, have every once in a while a major shift, but usually that leads to more of a split, because there's of course people on the team who are like, why are we leaving the WFA? We should stay with it. So usually what ends up happening is there ends up being two teams in that city competing for a while. And honestly, we have in this city another team, besides the LFL, we also have the Seattle Majestics, and we have the South Sound Olympians. And I personally think at this point, that's a fantastic thing, because we're looking for promotion and recognition right now. And if that means everybody's doing promotion and recognition at this point, when no one even knows women's football exists, I'm perfectly okay. When we all fill stadiums, then we can start fighting over who's fans or who's and that sort of thing. But right now, let's just get this sport growing. Let's really develop it and get these girls and women into this sport, because once they get into it, not only are they loving it, but the things that they're learning about themselves and about others, it's really pretty amazing. It's a life-changing sport. I think most people who played it will say that. And every year I say that to our rookies, and they roll their eyes. And then at the end of the year, they go, oh, man, football changed my life. And I'm like, yep, that's what it does.
So is there anything else you think we need to know about either the team or the league or all of this in general that we haven't covered yet?
If you're interested, you should definitely check it out. There is most likely a football team close to you. Even if you're in another country, you should check it out to see if there's a football team. At World Games, we had teams from the Middle East. We had teams from Asia. We had teams from all the European countries. Canada has a pretty big league. Mexico has, Canada and Mexico would probably be having a fit if they heard this interview. They both have very big football leagues. so the sport is really, really growing. So I would tell people to just check it out. And if you're interested in playing it, no matter what age you are, you should go check it out. You should go give it a try, because it's nothing like following your dream, even if it's just a couple years. And it might be something that leads to coaching or reffing, or
true,
makes you a Katie Sowers, where you're on TV for the 49ers because she's from the WFA. She was a quarterback in the WFA. So, you know, there's so many opportunities. So I tell people to just go for it and check it out. As people who are just interested in it as a fan, you should definitely check it out. If you go online, you probably can watch our games. You can watch Seattle Spartan games if you go on our website, or if you go to YouTube and type in Seattle Spartans versus the Tacoma Trauma, a game where we won with 10 people on the field in the second half. So that was our first season, and we battled all the way to the end and won that game with 10 people on the field. So I advise people to check it out. We play with a lot of passion, and I think they'll really enjoy it.
Awesome. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening again. Episode this week, doing leagues that don't necessarily give you a paycheck, I think, can be really important, because it brings up a broader question of why do players still play those sports? Why are there 70 teams in the WFA if these players aren't getting paid? And in many situations, they're paying to play. Well, the reason is, there's such a burning passion to play the game that it drives them out there. And if I've learned anything from this, it's passionate players bring in passionate fans, which grow leagues and develop more and more and more over time. So passion's the key here. And you see that when you see leagues that don't pay players. And again, in many situations, players are paying to play. When that's the situation, you're still seeing the growth that this league is, that points to passion, which is really, really important in a successful league. The other aspect of this is what Nicole talked about, and that's what this can turn into. If you reflect back months and months ago when we talked to Austin, who's playing football out in Switzerland, he was talking about how he's not sure if he's going to keep playing, and that hopefully this will turn into a coaching career, because that's his passion. He was using his opportunity of playing football, a sport that he loved, to lean into what he wanted his future to be. And Nicole talked about how playing in the WFA can turn into something that will pay you in the sport that you love. Maybe it's coaching, maybe it's refereeing, or maybe it's sideline reporting for the 49ers, like she talked about. The career of an athlete is not simple. It's complex. Even if you're getting paid to play, your career is essentially done when you're, it all depends on who you are, but you're coming around 30 to 35, you're getting pretty close to done. Now, I got a lot. I'm sure there's people listening going, no, wait, I could play way past 35. All right. Good for you. But for most of you, you're rounding 30, getting to 35. You're probably getting pretty close, at least when it comes to a livable contract amount of money. You're probably not going to play a whole lot longer. So what I'm saying is, even for you that are getting paid, you're still going to have to use your experience playing and turn it into another career. We've talked about this before with many of our guests, where if you're playing a sport, let's say you're getting paid, maybe whatever it is, $5,000 a month playing basketball in Argentina, okay, and you play until you're 33, all right, you're done. When you're done, you still need to do something, probably still have to do something afterwards. You're probably going to use that experience to maybe coach, maybe ref, maybe run camps, whatever it is, you're going to use that experience to help you in your next phase. Same is true for any amateur league. The only difference is the pay while you're playing. The experience is still incredibly valuable, and the fact that it's a step to the next step in your life is also incredibly valuable. That's not even to bring into the context the passion that's on both sides of the aisle. People that get paid to play a sport have burning passion, and you can even argue that people that don't get paid have more passion because they're going into play all the while knowing that they're not getting paid anything to play, that points to potentially even more passion for the sport. So what I'm getting at is interviews with leagues like this and teams like this that may not play, you got to be careful when you're looking for value, because the value is there and it's very, very, very important. There's a lot of value in learning about some of these leagues for many reasons. The development of maybe your own league, your own team, to you as a player thinking, what would be the point of me playing in a league that didn't play? I'm not saying you got to buckle down and make that your life. But don't ignore them necessarily. Don't ignore these leagues from the outside. Don't ignore them as a player, because they do offer a lot of value to both players and fans and this whole world of sports in general. So thank you to Nicole for the interview. It was a wonderful episode. Very helpful. Very insightful. We haven't had anyone talk women's American football yet, specifically outdoor football. We hope to get some arena football, women's arena football at some point. But right now, this is the first talk of any sort of American football for women. And so we thank Nicole very much for that, taking some time and talking about that. Nicole's right. If you have any interest at all, go find a team. I was just looking through teams, and I got to confess, there's a team pretty close that I did not know was around. So I will be looking into them and hopefully catching a game and checking them out. So thank you again, Nicole. Keep an eye out for the WFA. Anybody interested in playing or watching or anything, you can contact the team, any team that's nearby you or the league directly, or Globally Ballin' again if you'd like to go through us and we can help tie you to who you need to talk to. So I've already talked way too much. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content, and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin', you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new, different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed, fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, Twitter at globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com, search Globally Ballin', and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested, and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.